Hi, everyone, and welcome to a very special edition of Franchise Interviews, where for over 5 years we've been asking the Franchipreneurs one-on-one. I'm your host, Marty McDermott, and I'm the president of Franchise Interviews, and we have a great show today. We're meeting with the Save a Franchise Opportunity. And the Save a Franchise concept specializes in the art of brow shaping, facial hair removal, and waxing. We're meeting with the founder of the Save a Franchise Opportunity, Boss Maniacus, and that's coming right up on Franchise Interviews. So stick around because we got a great show.
Are you one of those special people who are willing to go after your dreams and goals? Are you ready to fulfill that dream of owning your own business with the security of a proven brand, the opportunity to take control of your future and own a Rita's Italian Ice franchise is within your reach?
Rita's is seeking success-oriented individuals who are ready to make a change in their life, and Rita's offers unparalleled training and support to assure your success. And did you know the frozen treat industry is a recession-proof industry, and there are Rita's in 23 states currently with 540 stores open. Rita's Italian Ice has been around for 25 years and is listed as a top-performing franchise by the Wall Street Journal.
Now here's the really good part. Rita's Italian Ice is a unique and amazing taste treat. It's smoother than a snow cone, and it combines ice with real fresh fruit. The real fruit adds dramatically to the taste, and it comes in over 40 flavors. The ice and fruit are mixed on site and made fresh daily, and it is delicious.
You'll want to know more about this exciting and successful franchise opportunity. Go to www.ownaritas.com and get all your questions answered. That's www.ownaritas.com to take control of your dreams and future today. You don't want to wait any longer to be a part of this adventure. www.ownaritas.com.
Franchisers, are you looking to reach aspiring entrepreneurs looking to buy a franchise? Are you looking to reach a highly educated audience on franchising? For over 4 years, Franchise Interviews has been giving an up-close, behind-the-scenes look at franchising and entrepreneurship through our website, franchiseinterviews.com, where you can hear and read interviews as well as get inside tips from some of the most successful sources in franchising. Check out our weekly franchise radio show, where each week you get to hear a new interview with franchisers, franchisees, franchise authors, franchise experts, and attorneys, and our podcast, Great Quotes in Franchising. Get 3 months of free advertising when you sign up for our one-year package. For more information, go to franchiseinterviews.com or call us at 610-905-2919. That's 610-905-2919.
Hi, everyone, and welcome back to Franchise Interviews, where for over 5 years we've been asking the franchipreneurs of all along. I'm your host, Marty McDermott, and I'm the president of Franchise Interviews. And as we were saying earlier, we have a great show today because we're meeting with the Save a Franchise Opportunity. And Save is a franchise concept that specializes in the art of brow shaping, facial hair removal, and waxing. And today we're meeting with Boss Maniacus, who is the founder of Save a. Hey, Boss, how you doing today? Welcome to the show.
Hey, Marty, how are you? Can you hear me all right?
I hear you well, Boss. Thank you. Thank you for coming on the show today. We've been looking forward to having you guys for some time now. We would like to ask our guests, where are you calling from this morning?
We're located in Highland Park, Illinois, just north of Chicago.
Oh, great. Fantastic. And I know you have an interesting background. If you could tell our guests maybe, you know, what you were doing before starting the Save a Franchise Opportunity, Boss, that would be great.
Sure. I was living in the West Indies spearfishing every day. But my wife dragged me back to the U.S. kicking and screaming in the middle of winter to Indianapolis, Indiana, saying it's time for us to start a new adventure. So that's really the truth. But I had a real estate rental finding company that I had started and franchised, and we'd sold that before we traveled. So
wow.
Business-wise, real estate rental finding, and then... But, yeah, So that's what
that's great. And you know, it seems obvious, you know, as we were studying you guys, you know, we're going to talk about the whole location factor of SEVA, which I know plays a big role in the organization as well. How about the history of the company for SEVA, Boss?
Sure. Yeah, you bet. Well, I guess I'm what's called a serial entrepreneur, so I'm always looking for unique ideas. And back in the early late 1990s, my wife, who I was dating at the time, had taken me to an area in Chicago called Little India. She wanted to go get her eyebrows threaded. And, you know, I had never really paid attention to people's eyebrows and really had no interest in, even participating in it. I had nothing else to do. So, you know, I walked into this little salon in on Devon Street in Chicago and watched my wife get her eyebrows threaded. And as I was standing there, you know, this 6'3" Greek guy who looked like a sore thumb in this room of Indian women who were getting their eyebrows threaded, in about 5 minutes, I recognized that I was really witnessing something that was remarkable, and it had really not been disseminated outside of the Southeast Asian community at the time. So that's how I became aware of threading, and kind of at that point, I was highly involved in my rental finding company. And so we just kind of put it on the back of our mind that at some point, this would be a unique concept to kind of bring outside of the Indian community and, you know, disseminate to the larger woman population. And that opportunity didn't arise until, again, my wife dragged me from the West Indies. So,
wow, that's fantastic. The true trait of an entrepreneur is being able to, I guess you could say, spot those opportunities, you know, like when you walk into a place like that, you know. So I think that's fantastic. Mm-hmm. If you guys were at, like, a franchise show, Boss, and someone came up to your booth and they said, so what do you guys do? Now, what would you say to them? How would you respond?
That's a great question. I'd say something kind of a little philosophical. First of all, we fulfill people's beauty destiny, which is our mantra. So our mantra is to fulfill your beauty destiny. So that's what I would say. And what does that mean? It really, to me, it's about empowerment. The name SEVA is a very powerful term. It means to serve selflessly. So our whole goal within different contexts, but our whole goal really is not just about beautifying people, but really empowering women. So when we fulfill a woman's beauty destiny, when they come into one of our salons, we really believe that what we're doing is making that person feel much better about themselves intrinsically, and that in turn allows them to be empowered to go out and do SEVA themselves and to serve selflessly. So I'd answer it in two quick ways. I'd say, one, it's about empowerment, and two, it's about serving selflessly, all under the umbrella of fulfilling people's beauty destiny.
Interesting. It sounds like technology has also played a pretty big role in this business as well. Did you want to talk about that?
Sure. You know, I've always been heavily invested in technology to meet our needs. Early on, before we even took this concept to Walmart, which was, you know, one of two ways we were planning on doing this business, I recognized that we really needed to incentivize and capture the customer's information as they came in. You know, our business is recurring, so one of the things we thought would be important to do is really incentivize that recurring nature of the customer. So we developed our own proprietary POS system that originally was based on, you know, older Apple computers. And, you know, people really loved it. But what we wound up doing is we were kind of pioneers in migrating to iPads. So we customized our solution as an iPad-based mobile solution. And that's really opened up all kinds of amazing, technological advances to how we run our salons. So we're very, very much into technology. It's really part of the core of our whole franchise.
Yeah, it's interesting. As a marketing professor, I was fascinated with what you guys are doing with location. I really thought it was brilliant. Did you want to talk a little bit about that? You know, with some partnerships, I guess, with Walmart, and I guess there were some other ones that you guys were working with as well.
Sure, absolutely. Well, when I first, you know, saw this concept, we had a couple ways that we wanted to, you know, that we were looking at really disseminating it, and we really had two paths in the road. I'm kind of a black or white person. I don't like shades of gray. It was either really commoditize this and bring it to the entire marketplace, or do it in small upscale boutiques. I was more for the first version, which was bringing it to the mass. And so I approached Walmart back in 2007, and they absolutely shot me down. They were totally not interested. Probably didn't even know what it was. Fortunately, a couple of events happened that really gave us an opportunity to pilot it in Walmart in Indianapolis in 2008. So when that happened, we certainly took that course of really disseminating it to the masses instead of the small upscale boutique concept. And it's been really highly successful. I mean, it's kind of a store within a store partnership. So what we do, so to make a long story short, so we were called Simply Eyebrows initially, mm-hmm. and we had opened in Walmart's. Currently, we have 21 units. We also kept our Simply Eyebrows brand and actually opened in other retailers as well, such as Meijer, which is a regional supercenter in the Midwest.
Right.
And then we rebranded our Walmart to Seva, which we then, of course, started franchising. We actually also opened up in an international airport in Indianapolis as well. But our primary focus has really been the franchise model of Seva. We wound up actually selling all of our Simply Eyebrows corporate stores at the end of 2011 in Meijer. We retained the trademark. We didn't sell our trademark, but we actually sold the Simply stores. So we could really focus on, A, the Seva franchise model, particularly growing it within Walmart, both nationally and internationally, and then also looking for other strategic retail partners as well, because we're all about the one-stop-shop convenience by kind of co-branding and, you know, the store within a store convenience factor. To me, that's an essential part of what we do.
Right, absolutely. How big, are there any numbers on the industry, Vasa? I mean, it sounds like, is this industry growing, getting bigger, more popular?
You know, I honestly don't know the numbers per se. I would guess, and I've seen numbers thrown out, and certainly in the billions.
Yeah.
My feeling is really that the market is women, period.
Right.
So,
right.
And certainly men is becoming a growing population. Men are starting to get their eyebrows shaped and, you know, performing more vanity service as well that
right.
we do. So the market is huge, and particularly even with our retail partners. I mean, I always joke it's big enough for the largest retailer in the world to take notice of it. So,
wow.
You know, it's a big market.
It's a big market.
Yep,
for sure.
It's a big market.
What's been the most interesting thing that's happened to you since starting Seva? We always like to stump our guest every so often and ask a trick question. But is there anything
that's
that stands
awesome
out?
Question. Yeah, absolutely. I love that question. It's a great question. It really had to do with the transformation of our original name, Simply Eyebrows, which, you know, kind of defines what we did, to taking the name Seva, which, as I mentioned earlier, is a very powerful term.
Right.
And I used to joke in the early days, I used to kind of joke and say, really, we're in the vanity business. And I used to kind of deride it almost, like, you know, it's kind of really dumb. Here we are, you know, just basically helping people, you know, kind of, they're shaping their eyebrows. It's
right.
all about vanity.
Right.
And it really transformed, especially when we took on the name Seva, and we really started really thinking internally, what do we want to do with this concept? It's not money motivated. It's not about the money. It's really about
right.
doing something. So that question is awesome, because really that transformation between the name Simply Eyebrows and Seva really, to me, turned from vanity to empowerment.
Yeah.
So now our concept is much more... It's just a lot larger than a vanity-based business. It really is about empowerment of women at the client level, and it's really about empowerment of our franchisees as well to, in their own way, to perform Seva, to support their families when they're awarded a Seva franchise, to employ people, pay payroll tax, all these things. This is all just part of the greater good. So we really look at it more philosophically as it went from vanity to empowerment. That's a great question.
Fantastic. Thanks. We were talking before the show saying that, you know, we think this is almost like a feel-good type of business, too, if you think about it. You know, I mean, it's a fun kind of business. I mean, where your customers, I suspect, you know, they walk out and they're very happy, you know, after getting the service, you know. And that's always a wonderful type of franchise to get into, you know, where your customers, you can put a smile on their face.
That's right.
You know, at the end of the day, it's not like a transmission franchise or something like that, you know, where you're upset that your car, you know, the transmission died and you paid all this money for it. So it really is a feel-good type of business. So what kind of characteristics do you look for in your franchisees then, Boss?
Sure. Well, let me just jump back on that really quick. We actually call our customers devotees, because that's exactly what they are. They're devoted. And our staff is called gurus, beauty gurus. And it really is that type of relationship between guru and devotee in the beauty field. And we have, again, going back to our culture, naming conventions for our staff that really enhance the culture that we're looking to you know, instill. As far as at the franchisee level, we call our franchisees partners.
Uh-huh.
We look first and foremost that they meet our core values, which are honesty, loyalty, and skill. So that defines all of our relationships. From everything we do, but in particular for a franchisee or a partner coming through our system. So during the course of the franchise step, you know, process, we're always kind of keeping our ears attuned to how they're engaging us and seeing whether or not they meet our core values. The financial qualifications are kind of the mundane qualifications. They need to have $100,000 liquid capital. You know, so once we get past that step and they've shown us that they meet our financial qualifications, again, within the context of HLS, as we call it, then we're really looking for people who have some business sense, some business acumen. They absolutely do not need to have any kind of salon experience. They certainly don't need to know how to perform these services. Our business is a manager-run model, so you know, we're going to help them recruit and train a manager that's really going to run the day-to-day operations for the franchisee.
Fantastic. So once someone decides that they, you know, they want to go forward, they want to become partners with you guys, what's the training like for new franchisees?
Baptism by fire. We just throw them in.
That works.
We have a really cool training process. It's actually fairly short because we've really invested a lot in technology.
Right.
So we bring them to our corporate office in Highland Park, Illinois.
Okay.
They spend 2 to 3 days here in training, and the initial 2 days are really hands-on training on our POS, reviewing our services, the culture, how to engage the customers in particular. We call them the active customers that are within our retail partner. So, you know, Walmart is driving between 30 to 50,000 customers a week. So we're teaching our partners how to really engage those customers and then really engage the peripheral customers around our retailer, you know, primarily with social media and other things. We call them the potential customers. So we're spending a lot of time really training them how to really drive business. And then the optional half day or third day is actually kind of a mentorship in one of our salons here in Illinois. So they can actually spend a day, you know, hands-on watching the operations and seeing how it goes. And then the training, the ongoing, is continuous. We use webinars.
Mm-hmm.
Again, going back to our mobile technology, it's got built-in FaceTime, so we do live video conferences, one-on-one training. We're building a really robust POS integrated learning management system. So it's fairly robust training from initial through ongoing.
That's great. How would you describe a typical day as a Save a Franchisee boss, if there is such a thing?
Yeah, there certainly is. Well, and we have a term for that. It's called the Beauty Destiny Protocol. So we call it the 90-10 rule. We want 90% of our franchisees' day to really be invested in the Beauty Destiny Protocol. So all the steps really from check-in through check-out. So really enhancing that experience of the customer who comes in from the moment they sign in or check themselves into our iPad POS system through the, you know, the selling of products, the selling of additional services, really through the checkout, obviously through the beautify step when we're beautifying them, and then through checking out. So we want 90% of their time really focused on that. And Save Corporate really handles proactively a lot of the peripheral things that they need to do. So we're helping them drive potential employees to them with a kind of a pull system built into our POS and really helping them take care of the more mundane 10% things so they can focus right on that 90%, which is the Beauty Destiny Protocol.
That's fantastic. So you're a true entrepreneur. What advice would you give to our listeners? We call them aspiring franchisepreneurs. They have their mind set up that they probably want to go into franchising. What would you say to them, boss?
Yeah, well, it's a great question, too. I'd say, first of all, if they're an entrepreneur, they should step back and decide, do they want to be the Zor or the Z? So do they want to bring a concept to market and become a franchisor?
Yeah.
You know, and that's really, I think, the real hardcore entrepreneurs are always about creating a business. And if they're not as much, if they're a little more risk averse and they don't want to, you know, really take the risk, then as a franchisee, which is also an awesome approach, you know, really sit back and evaluate the company. Again, I always look at the culture. To me, that's the most important thing. If you're motivated, you buy into what they're doing and the culture fits, I think the revenues are kind of organic. It's like photosynthesis. It's just going to come. So you just have to understand the culture, feel if it fits for you, and know that you're going to be motivated to really do something greater than just making money. The money will then just flow organically.
Yeah, absolutely.
I hope that's not philosophical, but that's kind of how I think.
Yeah, no, absolutely. It's well said. So where do you see you guys, where do you see yourselves like in like 5 years down the road, us?
That's another great question. You know, we really believe in organic growth. We're not spending a lot of effort, money, marketing this. you know, right now we're heavily invested in the Walmart infrastructure, and that's posed some challenges as well. We actually have more franchisees than we do spaces, just because it's such a sought-after infrastructure.
Right.
So
of course, yeah.
I see myself growing certainly domestically, both within Walmart, internationally within Walmart, and then looking selectively for other retail partners that, you know, that would have a nice synergistic approach. You know, I'd love to see us in some of the retailers like an Ulta, Sephora, things like that,
ooh,
where
there's right.
physical products, and we can bring the service to the table. So that's where I see us going, and just expanding organically and fulfilling Seva.
That's fantastic. What's the best way for our listeners to get more information on becoming a franchisee boss? Are there any websites they can go to, any numbers they can call?
Yeah, absolutely. They can go to our website, which is www.sevabeauty.com.
Okay.
That's S-E-V-A, beauty, B-E-A-U-T-Y.com. And we have a franchise tab that they can click on. There's all kinds of information. And then we'll follow up with a franchise kit that really gives them more in-depth.
That's fantastic. I want to thank you again, boss. I think you guys have a great franchise opportunity now. And I'd like to already invite you back towards the end of the year and have you guys back on as we watch you guys continue to grow.
Love to do it. I appreciate the time.
Thanks so much, boss. You have a great day today.
Thanks, Marty. Take care.
Thanks. We'll be right back with more franchise interviews.
Bye-bye.
Franchise Interviews. For over 4 years, Franchise Interviews has been giving an up-close, behind-the-scenes look at franchising and entrepreneurship through our website, franchiseinterviews.com, where you can hear and read interviews as well as get inside tips from some of the most successful sources in franchising. Check out our weekly franchise radio show, where each week you get to hear a new interview with franchisers, franchisees, franchise authors, franchise experts, and attorneys. And don't forget to listen to our podcast, Great Quotes in Franchising. For more information, go to franchiseinterviews.com or call us at 610-905-2919. That's 610-905-2919.
Need a business loan? Talk to Diamond Financial Services, the experts in franchise financing nationwide. Whether you're looking to start a franchise, acquire an existing franchise, or expand your territory through opening new locations, Diamond Financial stands by your side start to finish. From pre-qualification to packaging and presenting your application to securing a financial commitment and through the loan closing process, Diamond Financial is there. While you're waiting, thousands of others are making their financial dreams come true. Don't wait any longer. Pre-qualify now by completing a confidential, no-obligation financial analysis. Let's face it, traditional banks just aren't in the business of financing small business. At Diamond Financial, we specialize in securing franchise loans from $100,000 to $3 million and equipment leasing up to $150,000. Let us help you get started. Go to www.franchisefunding.net or call 877-508-2274. That's franchisefunding.net, 877-508-2274.
Hi, everyone. This is Marty McDermott from Franchise Interviews, and welcome to another edition of Great Quotes in Franchising. You know, Don and I have been hosting Franchise Interviews now for about a year and a half, and in that time, we've gotten to interview some fantastic authors on the topic of franchising. One of my favorite books is The Franchise Times Guide to Selecting, Buying, and Owning a Franchise. It's a must-read in franchising, and that book is by Julie Bennett. And we had Julie on the show. It was about 3 to 4 months ago. She had some fantastic quotes on the topic of franchising. She spoke about the importance of following a system. She gave a great example of that. She even got into the characteristics of successful franchisees. So listen to what Julie said.
And as for the systems, it's a great story. Becky Kiljohn, in the book, she's an Express Personnel franchisee in Dayton, Ohio. And she says, follow the system. If the procedures manual said to write all reports with my left hand in red ink on Monday through Wednesday, and with my right hand in black ink on Thursday and Friday, I do it. I will follow everything because it works.
That's very powerful. I mean, that really describes franchising in a nutshell, Julie.
Doesn't it?
Absolutely.
That kind of reminded me, Marty, of that. Who was the client we had on? You know,
we had, Julie, we had a Liberty Tax. We had one of Liberty Tax's most successful franchisees on the show.
Mm-hmm.
And he basically said the same thing. He said he wasn't a creative person. You know, all he wanted to do was just, you know, follow the system.
Right.
And that's why he became one of the most successful franchisees for Liberty Tax. That's all he did. He said, all I did was what they told me to do, and I achieved this great success, you know.
Yeah, he came in with the attitude. His whole attitude was like, just tell me what I have to do, kind of like what you were just bringing up with that particular story, Julie. And that was his whole attitude. Tell me what to do. I'll do it. I'll work hard. And he's, you know, doing quite well.
Yeah, absolutely.
Right. It's often, if you talk to a franchisor and say, why did that franchisee fail? He'll always say, well, he didn't follow the system.
Mm. Absolutely.
Which may, of course, that may or may not be true.
So. Right, absolutely. Julie, what types of characteristics do you think make successful franchisees?
Well, you were talking about one of the big ones, which is being hardworking.
Right.
And I think that's very important. You have to be enthusiastic about the business. You have to create an excitement before the business opens.
I agree.
Have to go through your community, tell them you're opening up, and get them in there the first day.
Absolutely.
You have to be able to hire, discipline, and motivate employees. There are personality tests that franchisors give franchisee candidates.
Right.
And when I took all three, I flunked them.
<Isn't that> something.
on this very point, because they said I'd be too empathetic to my franchisee. To my employees,
right.
And they'd walk all over me.
That's
a very important point. You have to have good communication skills. You have to be talking up your franchise all the time.
Right.
You have to have a sense of humor.
Sure.
And I'll go back to Becky Courtjohn, who said that she had an angry client call her up and say, that young lady you sent over here to work is painting her toenails at our reception desk. And Becky didn't miss a beat. She said, what color?
That's great, isn't it?
Isn't that perfect?
That's
you
fantastic.
Have to roll with the punches.
Absolutely.
Right.
That's great.
And also, as you said before, you have to be well capitalized.
Sure.
So many franchises have to close in that first year because they don't have the money to keep going.
True.
Yeah, I come across that every day as we're pre-qualifying people for financing, Julie. And you know, a lot of times we're trying to tell people to sometimes not fund the whole business themselves. They'll never be as strong a borrower as they are now. Kind of leverage yourself, get that working capital, which is a nice part of getting a loan. So you have that first 3 to 6 months of expenses paid for, but that happens a lot. People don't want to get a business loan. They finance it themselves, and 6 months later, they're looking around for money. And
Right. Don't drain your house of home equity now.
Right.
I love that quote from Becky Porchon that Julie referenced on the importance of following a system. So again, thanks for listening to another edition of Great Quotes in Franchising. And once again, we'd love to hear your thoughts as we now enter the world of podcasting. So again, thanks, and we'll see you again soon. Take care.